And, you know, whenever it's a while, you don't do something for a while, there's an excitement and there's a nervousness about it. And that's kind of how I was feeling. Even though we do Bible studies, this is a much different setting. And so anyway. We're going to go ahead and get started. And I'm going to start off with a question. Do you trust the process? You know, God, He has a process in place. A general process, and that process is going to get us to eternity, and to spend eternity with the Father and with Yeshua here on where we at, here on earth. I might as well turn this way. Everybody's over here. So hopefully this teaching will help us gauge how much we trust the process that God's bringing us to. Just like He did with the children of Israel, He's doing the same thing with us. And we're going to look at it. The Father has a plan for all of us who obey. You know, we have to obey. We can't just make stuff up and interpret Scripture the way we want. We have to obey what the Scripture says. This is a general plan for all of us. But He has an individual plan for every one of us because we're all different. We all have different characters. You know, we work different jobs. We're in different arenas. So He has a specific plan for each one of us. And it's a plan for process. He wants to process us. But it's up to us. God's process always begins with leaving the familiar. If we take the picture that He gave us of the children of Israel, you know, they did some things before they got out, but it didn't start. The process didn't start until they were out of Egypt. That's whenever the process started, because He started breaking things off of them and getting them out of that old mindset that they was in. So it started after they got out of Egypt is when it started. Sometimes we prevent God's plan from taking place because we want to avoid the process. See, processing is tough. It can be a tough thing. And at some point, it will be a tough thing. But we have to stay in it. And again, we could revert back to the children of Israel. They didn't like the process. I mean, how many times did they complain? It got so bad that, you know, Moses told them what he was doing, what God was doing. God was taking them to the promised land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, they even questioned that. They said, you brought us out not to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey, but you brought us from one. So they was pointing back to Egypt. You brought us out of the land. So you can see how tough the process can get. Because it'll get so tough that you'll even question whether what you see and if God's word is true or not. You'll question it. And we see that a lot now. We see it a lot now in the church. You know, a lot of believers is only going so far. But it gets tough, and they don't want to go anymore. Because they have to start breaking off things that was passed down to them, just like us. You know, but it didn't happen overnight for us. It took us some time to get us there, but eventually we got there. And you know something? We still gone. We didn't arrive. We still gone through the process. But here's the problem we run into. In order to fully surrender yourself to this process, you have to let go of your need to control yourself. That's the biggest thing in my life. Is, you know, I didn't know I had a control issue, but obviously I do. You know, I have a control issue because I want to control everything. So you have to let go of your need to control yourself and just trust God's process. Just trust the process. We already know the end result, but it's hard. I mean, we can sit here and talk about it all day, but whenever we walk out them doors, we have to trust the process. To live as heirs to the promise, we cannot be under our own control. We must be controlled and led by Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading into fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. You know, the reason why I put that there, because, you know, the whole time I look at Scripture, most of the time, I get a picture of the children of Israel. I get a picture, and this is what it reminded me of. The children of Israel couldn't see themselves as heirs because they didn't trust the process. You know, if you don't fully trust something, you're not going to be all in with it. You won't. But if you fully trust it, you'll be all in with it. Remodeling is a way of transforming and updating a house or place of business in order to make it more appealing, efficient, and useful. Usually, it involves a redesign on the inside of the home, but can also include the outside property. Those who have been through the process of remodeling know how extensive and tough it can be. Try as they may, workers will still create dust and chaos. Yet in order to enjoy something new, you have to go through the process of tearing out the old and going back with the new. The same is true when we allow Elohim to process us. We should look different, talk different, and walk different because we are a new person. In order to enjoy something new, we have to go through the process. I mean, it's just the way it is. We got to go through it. Revelation 21:5. And he who sits on a throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write for these words are faithful and true. Just like the beginning phases of a construction program, it may be hard to imagine a beautiful outcome, especially when things have been torn apart and walls is missing and tools are scattered from one end of the house to the other. However, this is exactly what God sees as a glorious outcome as a result of you going through the process. In other words, it may get ugly. It probably will get ugly. But you know something? If we go through the process, then we know that we're going to benefit for it, and there's no other way. We can't get around it. That's the thing. And that's the thing the children of Israel couldn't, they just couldn't get there. There was no way getting around it. They had to go through the process. When we look at our life, our attitude, the way we conduct our family affairs and business affairs, it should reflect this. I'm not where I was, but I have not made it to my destination yet. I'm in a process of getting there. Because that's what we are. We're all in the process of getting there. Philippians 3:12. Now that I have already, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. You know, I use that scripture because of that statement I just made, but I noticed something in the scripture that caught my attention. You know, it says that have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal this also to you. So how will God reveal this different attitude? Through the process. That's how the attitudes, that's how we're going to see. Well, hopefully we see it, because if not, God will send somebody to us because he loves us that much. But we know what happens there. It creates an issue with us, right? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on, but it does, because nobody likes to be wrong. And we don't want stuff pointed out on us, that's for sure. We don't want that. But through the process, so we must trust the process. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Again, this scripture is talking about process, because bearing fruit is a process. You don't just plant a tree and then it bears fruit. No, it goes through a season. It goes through the pruning process, the dry months, the cold, harsh months. And it could be a lot of stress on a tree doing that. You know, to us it don't seem like, because we just see the tree. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But there's some things happening in that tree. I remember I planted three trees in the front of my house. A peach tree, a nectarine tree, and a plum tree. The only tree that grew, started to grow, and looked good, from all accounts, it looked like the tree was going to thrive. The other two died. I cut them down. But the nectarine tree, I mean, it sprouted out nice. I was proud of that tree. That's one of them trees that I would go and look at every morning. The other two rejects, I didn't want to look at them. But I'd look at that tree. So anyway, we left for Hurricane Isaac, and we came back, and that year the tree died. Whenever I came back, it looked good. But it went from that storm, from the wind blowing, from the rain, from all of that, the tree went through a lot of stress, and it died. So bearing fruit is a process. So let's look at the latter part of this verse. This I command you, that you love one another. Now, why did he put that there? I mean, it don't even look like it fits. There's a reason why he put it there. In those times of the pruning, the dry months, the harsh months, in those times we are more susceptible to making a mistake or act a certain way that we or may not see. All right, so through that process, remember we was talking about how things could be pointed out to us if we don't see them for ourselves. Well, that's part of bearing fruit. That's part of the process. You know, people, you know, God will try to point it out with us in the Word, in prayer time, but if we don't get it, somebody will point it out to us, and we don't like that. Well, Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another one. But nobody likes the sparks flying, right? Because whenever you sharpen in a sword, there's sparks flying. But nobody likes that. I know I don't. And what I'm talking about is whenever we see things in each other's lives, You know, we're rubbing up against each other every day. You know, if I don't rub up against you ever, I'm not going to see anything in you. You know, but if I'm rubbing up on you every day, then I see the imperfection. But you know something? Before I'm willing to point out them imperfections, I need to examine my life first. But, you know, whenever the sparks start flying, nobody likes that. But you know something? That's part of the process. And it should happen, because it says here in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. If we want to get better, we have to rub shoulders with one another. That's why he gives a body. That's why he gives us a church body, the body of Messiah. That's why he put us together here at Faith Temple Ministry. It's no mistake. That's why he put us here. But it's tough. You know why? Because most of us are related in here. So that's like a double whammy. Because we're related. You know? And but you know, we need to be careful with that, because there's folks that come here who are not related. So we have to be careful that we don't treat people differently. We should treat each other across the board the same, no different. You know, during this process, you know, I observe a lot, especially people. I observe, and especially Brother Scott. But anyway, I observe and I always reflect on my life, you know, probably not as much as I should. I know I don't. I should look at it more and examine it more. But, you know, if you work in the oil field and, well, let's say a welding shop, you know, sometimes oil field will order a pipe with flanges on the end. You know, you'll have this long jointed pipe, or it can be a bunch of different configurations. And they'll put flanges on the end. After it's welded, they'll put flanges on the end, on both ends. And one of the flanges will have a spout on it where they can pressure test it. They're gonna pump pressure into that line. And sometimes it's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 pounds of pressure. And, you know, but the reason why they do that, because they don't want to install that out in the oil field and it busts on them, because, I mean, it can be a big expense. It could kill somebody. It could be an oil spill. Well, it's the same thing in our life. You know, we get pressure tests by God. We do. Because there's a lot of times he'll put us in situations where there's a lot of pressure on us. But if you take anything and you squeeze it like that, you know, you take a balloon, if you squeeze it too hard, what's going to happen? It's going to bust. Well, God doesn't want us to bust. That's why he does tests on it. He don't want us to go out there on our job and just have a total meltdown. You know, he don't want that. So he pressure tests us. He'll put us in situations that'll push us to our limits, situations that we don't think that we're going to make it through. But we do. If we endure, we do. If we stay in the process, we do. And remember, there's no other, we have to go through it. There's no other way. As much as there's times where we want to get out, if we get out, we're done. We got to stay in the process. Mark 11:11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12. Since it was already late on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, He went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for it. So we was going over the Torah portion by Brother Troy for Bible study. And this was a question that was asked there. You know, what is he thinking? There's a few things we can get out of this, but the one that I got out of it is, you know, whenever people see us from a distance, do they see fruit on us? You know, they see the leaves, they see fruit. But whenever they get close and start to interact with us, do they realize we have no fruit? You know, and that's the thing that stuck out, because, you know, if we don't stay in the process, we're not going to have any fruit. You know, and from afar off, you know, Jesus said it had leaf. So in all appearance, it looked like it had figs. Well, in all appearance, it may look like that we have fruit. But we may not. First Timothy 4:10. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers, prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains in these things. Be absorbed in them so that you will progress, so that your progress will be evident to all. So as I was reading this, you know, I got to the end. It says, so that your progress will be evident to all. You know, people should see, they should see Christ in us. You know, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk, the way we walk, they should see. But he says, take pains in these also. And in verse 12, you know, take pains in what? There's a few things he's talking about here. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So we're supposed to be an example to one another. And my question is, are we? Are we an example to one another? Or do we look at each other and that's all we see is everyone's failures or shortcomings? Or are we an example? And he goes on, he says, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. If we be an example, it should be evident. People should see it. Especially brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be proud of one another. All the stuff we done been through, if we can't be proud of one another, something's wrong. We need to look at us again. Second Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, you know, I can't read that yet. You know, we really should be proud of one another. If we look back of all the stuff that we've been through and that we're going through, the persecution, for just believing the Bible, that's all we're doing is we're taking the Bible for what it is. But we get persecuted by loved ones. That's the tough one, by the loved ones, by folks that you stood on side of in this church. But yet we're still here. We still here. Your brother on side, your sister, they still here. They still endure. That's something that we should think about. And maybe you have. I'm not saying you haven't been. But we should think about this. Second Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. So it says grow in the grace and knowledge. So that's something that we have to keep doing. But not everybody's willing to do that. Because they hung up on the things that they were taught in the past. You have to keep doing it. You could be wrong. You could be wrong. But it says grow. That's a continuance. You have to keep doing. You have to keep growing in the grace and the knowledge. But not everybody's willing to do that. We have to trust the process. Luke 17:1. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostle said to him, "Lord, increase my faith." You ever wonder why they said that? They're like, "This, what you asking me to do, that's kind of crazy. You're going to have to help me out here. You telling me if my brother comes to me seven times after he done me wrong in one day, you telling me forgive him the seven times? I need some help. Increase my faith." Whenever I read that, I'm like, man, that sounds like me. It'd be hard to do. I've never had that happen. Hopefully it never does. Don't do that to me, brother. Yeah, the disciples knew that they had to stay actively involved in the process. They was telling Jesus, "All right, I'm not bailing out on you, but I need some help here. Increase my faith. Because where I'm at right now, I can't do that." Have a question. Am I willing to go through the process, the fiery trials, to get to my inheritance? Am I willing to do it? Because we can't get around it. We have to go through it. But am I willing to do it? And there's going to be some fiery trials. No doubt about it. We already been through some and it's not going to stop. They still coming. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." For some folks, entering the gate was not the problem. what their parents did. It was passed down to them. I know a lot of family members did it. For others, getting on the potter's wheel was not a problem. They got on. I know I jumped on. I was ready. I was done. Lord, I'm done. Help me. After you go through all of that, and you look down a narrow path, and you see fire, and you see the refiner, that's where it starts getting interesting. Okay, I got to go through that. You got to go through that. The fire and the refiner. There's a reason. When you get off the wheel, if anybody's familiar with pottery, ceramic, when you get off the wheel, you're brittle. Very brittle. But once they put you in the fire and you come out of there, you're nice and strong. But folks have a problem with the fire and the refiner. Whenever they see that, they're looking for another way. So they get off the trail, they'll go hit the bushes looking for another way to get through. I know I did. I hit every bush they had. The last one I hit, Jesus came around the corner and he said, "Don't, you got to go through that. Ain't no way getting out of there. You got to go through." But that's one of the reasons why a lot of folks who's been going to church 2, 5, 10, 15 years, they fine with all of that. But whenever it comes to the refining part, whenever they got to get in that fire, that's where they say, "I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." And that's why we witness some of the stuff we witness here in this church, because it was getting hot. It was getting hot. First Peter 4:12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." It's not strange. I know whenever we look down that trail, you know, we go from the door, from the gate, to the potter's hand, and then we look down the trail and there's a fire. That's not strange. That fire's supposed to be there. So it can't be avoided. There's no other way. We got to go through the process. We got to go through the refiner. 1 Peter 1:6. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach." So the question is, you know, do we want to be part of that statistic of the dropouts? Do we want to be in that? And I don't think anybody in here wants to. You know, but we have to stay in the process. There's a process that we're going through. It's just the same for everybody. You know, we got to go through the furnace. We got to go through there. You know, if you look at Job, there's two guys, while I was going through this study, that came to mind. Job and Joseph was the two. I mean, they really had to trust the process that God was taking them through. I mean, they had no room for error. I mean, they had to trust it. And we know by reading their stories that they did. Job trusted the process. He knew he couldn't go around it. He had to go through it. And that's the same thing with us. We have to go through that process. Job 23:10 says, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So So we'll come out the other end. In other words, we'll come out the other end better off than what we was before we got in there. And that's what happened with Job. You read it. I mean, he was better off in the end than what he was in the beginning. I know he lost some loved ones. But Scripture says he was better off. Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we have to train ourselves to be disciplined. And by doing that, it's going to help us stay in the process that God has us in. And originally, I was doing a second part to this, because it went together. But I'm not. But there's one scripture that I couldn't overlook, because it deals with church unity. It's in Mark 2:1. Says, when he had come to Capernaum several days afterward, this is Yeshua they're talking about, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there were no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them, and they came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an in opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. So you have four guys. They're carrying a friend, and they couldn't get through the door. They could have easily give up there and say, you know something? I can't get in the door. But them friends had faith. Didn't say the guy laying down had faith. The friends had faith, so much faith, and they were so, that's the thing that got me, they were so determined to help their brother. They were so determined that they climbed on a roof. Can you imagine four guys picking up somebody else and putting them on a roof? They were so determined to help their friend. They didn't just get on a roof, but they dug a hole in it. You kidding me? They dug a hole in the roof. And after they dug a hole, they lowered him down. That's amazing to me. That's incredible that you have people, four guys that would help their friend so much. And my question today is, are we that willing to have that much faith and that much determination to help a brother or sister that's part of the body of Christ? Are we? I've never seen it in the church. We help each other, absolutely. I'm not saying that, but that kind of determination, that's crazy faith right there. When I read that, I had to stop. I couldn't read anymore. Because it took me a while to wrap my mind around that. Because a natural mind won't do it. So hopefully the Word of God has challenged us today, because that's why we do it. That's why we share. That's why we read. That's why we get up here and do what we do, because we should. If we get up here and speak words that's not challenging, we might as well sit down. But because the Word of God should challenge us. We should see stuff, and every time we pick up the Bible, we should see it. We should see new things in it. And that's what I did, and I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And but that story there, whenever I read it, I kept reading it. I'm like, because I didn't get it at first. But it's them four guys, them four brothers in Christ that said, you know something? My brother needs a healing. And we're going to make sure that he gets to the Master. You know, and we may not physically do that. That's not what I'm saying. But in prayer, we should be picking them up, bringing them there in prayer. That's how we should pray for them. We may not be able to do that in the natural. Most of the time you don't, you know, because we're not going to Jesus. We're going to the hospital. They don't make you come through the roof, you know. They let you go through the door. But whenever we pray, and if there's any time that we can help a brother and sister of Christ, the Bible teaches that we should help them. We should help one another. Before we help anybody else, we should help them. I haven't been doing it. Not like I should. So this scripture, it challenged me to the core. Because we know in our heart when we should be helping somebody. And you know something, that's part of the process too. So by not helping that person, that very well could be taking us out of that process. That's part of it. That's part of the body of Christ coming together in unity and helping one another and building one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another. And I know, you know, all of these teachings we go through, sometimes it gets lost. You know, because we're getting a lot of knowledge in different things, but we can never forget that. It's church unity. Because Paul addresses, all of them guys address it somewhere in the scripture. Every one of the apostles address it. So we know it's important. Well, that's all I have. Well, thank y'all for coming out and listening. And don't forget, Sunday morning, tomorrow morning. God bless.